This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you are going?
What?
How fast you are going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You gotta understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples. I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com/1080TheFan.
Right in the butt?
Nope, right on the YouTube. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Devontae Adams news has popped back up.
Where's he going to get traded?
Buffalo, I talked about. I don't get Buffalo. They're spreading the ball out. Reportedly, Buffalo really wants him, and he just wants to be a Jet.
So, yeah, just wants to go to New York.
We'll talk about that at some point today, I'm sure. It is a big pee-pee Thursday.
So that
we
got to
get our big pee-pees in because it starts tomorrow. We got a Duck game tomorrow.
We do. We got a Friday night game. Friday night lights tomorrow night.
I didn't take a whole lot away from Lanning yesterday. He seemed tired and...
Yeah, short week.
Tired and wired.
Short week. Dan Lanning is ready to get that game over with so we can get to the big kahuna, and they're all running on fumes this week.
Short week. Dan Lanning doesn't want to do interviews.
No, he wants no part of interviews. Don't interview him on a short week.
I kind of had Mario flashbacks listening to that. I was like, oh God.
Look, I'm just focused on winning a football game right now, guys. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. That's where you're at. I know. Game's in 48 hours. This is uncomfortable.
Would you say... Hankerson and Griffin are having a good year for Oregon State. Would you classify it as a good year?
I would classify it as a good year.
I would, too.
And I feel like the numbers bear that out.
Would you say great year?
I don't know about great, but I feel
collectively?
Like... Collectively, yes. Okay. And I feel like the two of them together take away from them having a great year because they're so balanced and they share so much.
But collectively, you say...
Collectively, I would say they're having a great year. When you combine their rushing numbers
yes.
and look at other backfields in the country, I would say they're having a great year.
Aston Jainty has 6 more rushing yards than both of them combined and 2 more touchdowns than both of them combined.
I mean, look, you can't compare him to that guy. Give me any other back in the country and they look great.
I didn't set that up to crap on my own players.
Right.
I'm just simply pointing out I saw their stats yesterday and I saw the collective combined rushing totals and touchdowns and I went, man, what a great year. And then I went, wait a minute.
Wait, let's look that up.
I didn't even look it up. I went, JT has more rushing yards and touchdowns than both of them.
Wildly impressive. Oregon State on the year as a team is 7th in the country in rushing yards per game.
Oh, they're having a great year.
7th in the country.
Yes.
And two of the teams that are ahead of them run the triple option in Army and Navy, who, by the way, are both undefeated for the first time since 1945.
Boy, that's a fun fact.
In the same season, they're both 4-0.
Coincidentally, that time in America.
Yeah, there was probably a lot of really good players who came back and were playing on, a lot of talent there.
No, but I just wanted to highlight, like, Jankte's awesome. And I know everybody knows that, but, like, to give you a perspective, Oregon State running back's having a great year, and Jankte is by himself outperforming both of them, which speaks to his greatness, I think. They've got an interesting game this week in the Beavers.
They do.
I think.
I mean, I think any of them are interesting because it's a game that you should win and you should control. Similar to, I mean, I know this one isn't a Power 5 opponent like your last one was against Purdue.
Right.
But I think these wins the next 2 weeks, which they should get, and there's a little tease at the Big Pee-Pee coming up later on in the show.
Yeah.
Colorado State's not very good.
No.
I've seen them play a little football this year. That is not a good team, and it's a game that Oregon State should control and win, and I think you have a great opportunity, as we said after the Purdue game, to be looking up with UNLV coming to town, maybe as a dark horse to make the college football playoff on the 19th, so two Saturdays from this weekend, and you have a chance to be 5-1 taking on a top 25 team, and it should be a great atmosphere.
The one thing I do wonder, though, is the matchup, because Colorado State, just for me as a fan, like this one's, it's much like Oregon-Michigan State. It's not very exciting for me. Now, that doesn't guarantee a Beaver win.
Nope.
I think they should win. They're coming off of the bye. They're playing. Is it at Fort Collins or is it? It's in Corvallis, right?
I believe it's here. In Corvallis. Yeah, Corvallis. Yes. They're at Nevada next weekend. That's the next game.
Thank you. But in looking at Colorado State, which isn't the most exciting matchup to say, offensively, they're terrible. They're seventh in their own conference in rushing, they're ninth in passing. That one kid that was talking all that noise to Shador.
Yep.
Yeah, not very good.
Yeah, they kind of know
Nicolosi or whatever his name is.
However, it's interesting from this perspective. Do you know defensively, they're second in the Mountain West in rush defense. They only give up 113 yards on average.
I do know that.
But they're dead last in pass defense. So it's like a reverse for Oregon State where it's like, this could be a massive little weekend for McCoy if Oregon State, and I don't think they should have problems, because if you can push Purdue around, you should be able to push Colorado State around. But if your running game is somewhat slowed or, you know, taken down a little bit, the passing game is the opportunity here because they are so damn bad.
Well, we'll see if they go to what they did late against Purdue, where they do more of the fly sweeps trying to get to the perimeter. A lot of times teams that stuff the run is because they're solid in the interior defensive line and they just have either big dudes or the linebackers fill well. And when Oregon State made that adjustment, started getting guys more on the perimeter, Purdue couldn't keep up with them. We'll see if maybe you employ that so the rushing numbers look better, but it's because they're doing it in a different way.
The interesting thing, too, is sometimes these numbers are hard to figure out early in the season because so much of it, in my mind, has to do with who have you played and what kind of offenses have you seen, right? Like, I just made the
note.
That's
an important part, too.
Right, yeah. I just made the note about Army and Navy. If you played Army and Navy earlier this year, you're probably giving up a lot of rushing yards because that's all they do. They just run the football on every single play. And so it's going to drag your numbers in a certain direction. It was one of the arguments I made last year when everybody was so high on DeAnton Lynn, who ended up at USC as their D coordinator, and he did a phenomenal job with that defense. But one of the benefits that defense had, statistically speaking, they didn't have to play Oregon, and they didn't have to play Washington. And so you don't have to play the two best offenses in the conference. Your numbers are going to be a little bit better at the end of the year. They've played Colorado, who does not run the football a lick, against, although they did a little bit this weekend against Central Florida. But going into that game, Colorado couldn't run the ball at all. And then their last win was over UTEP. UTEP is averaging like 70 rushing yards a game on the season.
Yeah.
It's not a very explosive offense. And so I see that number being a concerning factor for Oregon State fan because you have to run the football to win. I think McCoy's getting better, but clearly that's not the strength of your offense. It is a supplemental piece of your offense, but I'm not going to look at the number and say they're great against the run. I think a lot of that has to do with their win against Northern Colorado, playing Colorado, who doesn't run the football, and then UTEP, who is a horrific rushing offense.
I think that's a good point by you, and I tend to agree with most of it. I'm just saying if they do struggle to move it the way they have. I actually disagree with you. I think it's what I'm saying is this is a big opportunity and moment potentially for McCoy. Mm-hmm. If that running game is somewhat slowed down, this is one of those games where maybe he slings it for 260 plus yards and builds a little bit more confidence in himself.
It might be that the game plan coming in, honestly, of saying we feel like we can build confidence in him because of how bad they are defensively in the secondary.
Well, and the other part of that is if you do end up successfully running the football, the play action is going to get them to bite, and then that will open things up down the field for hopefully like a Clemens touchdown.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I'm finding myself every week, and there's some games on the schedule. Cal is looming. Washington State's at the end. UNLV, October 19th at Reser. They could still be ranked at that point. We'll see. They look good without the Sluka kid.
I'll see who they have the next, see who they play in the short term.
They've got Boise, I think, in late November.
So they shouldn't have a loss there.
So after Nevada, they've got,
hold on,
I got it right here. It's UNLV after Nevada, and then you're
Syracuse,
at Cal.
This weekend. I'm talking about UNLV leading into that Oregon State game to still be ranked going into that matchup.
Yeah, Syracuse goes to UNLV, right?
They do this Friday, and then they go on the road to Utah State. Those are their next two games.
My point is, and I know you've done this as a Duck fan, there are just games on these schedules in college football that if your team is good or great, depending in that, you know, wherever that swings, there's these games that just, it's hard to get excited for them.
Yep.
And so I'm mainly like diving in. And I'm like, oh, Colorado State. I had a buddy of mine that went to Oregon State. He's like, dude, I know Twitter makes it feel like the reverse, but this schedule, some of these teams, just not very exciting. And I said, yeah, I tend to agree with that. Nevada, Colorado State doesn't really get me that excited.
No, and I think it's the one thing that is the pro argument for what they've done in terms of not merging with the Mountain West, and I know Colorado State is a part of that, but it is that you don't want to have to play the bottom half of that conference because those games do nothing for you as a fan.
And any conference is always going to have a bottom half.
Of course.
No matter what.
There's a Vanderbilt in every conference, and nobody wants to play it because you don't get excited for it, and it's essentially a home game even when you go on the road. And it's what I think it will be a little bit more exciting. They don't have their schedule yet finalized for next year, but at least it's trending in an interesting direction where there's more Power 5 games and not all of them are blue bloods. But I just think like the Purdue game has a little bit of juice because you got a chance to beat a Big Ten team that you don't really get that same feeling when you beat Colorado State the way that you should beat Colorado State.
Sure.
This upcoming weekend. I'm excited to see how their passing attack looks, man. I thought they showed flashes late in that Purdue game with Clemens back on the outside. He's the first time, or the first guy that I look at for them on the perimeter that looks like a dude. Like, looks like that guy could do something. And you know the talent was there coming out of high school, the one year at Michigan. Like, he was a highly touted recruit. He looks the part of a big physical break tackle, run after the catch wide receiver, and I thought he had a couple of really nice plays. I know it was only like three catches, but you could just tell it felt like there was a difference when he had the ball in his hand, so having him back in the lineup was huge, and they were off last week, so they should be even more healthy, I would imagine, and so I think there's excitement to see what kind of dynamic and wrinkle can you add to that, because I've said this all year, if there's one unit that's going to get better as the season goes on, it's Oregon State's passing attack, just because they started limited, new quarterback, not having a full complement of wide receivers, now they're getting closer to 100%.
Did you see the renderings for Sacramento State Stadium?
I did, and it looks badass, man.
They're also going to play their home basketball games at the Kings Arena.
Yeah, the Kings owner is like, come on in, play whenever you want.
I still don't think Beaver fan wants him in.
And I don't blame you.
Is it just the Big Sky label? Is that...
Yeah. It's Sacramento State. It's a, you know.
Yeah.
If you could, would you rather have Memphis or Sacramento State?
Not close.
It's not even close.
Not close.
No, it's, you know, they're good. They're doing a lot, and I think it's really cool for them and that university that they're investing in it, and I hope it works out for them. But yeah, I think you set your sights a little bit. If you have to fall back on that, you fall back on it. But that's not your number one option.
Something that I was wondering yesterday in regards to the Ducks playing tomorrow. We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
7:17 on the fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. You know, the one benefit of your team playing a garbage-ass team on a Friday is that Saturday just is so delightful.
Opens it up, man. Wife's birthday this week. We're going to go do a little breakfast, get a little coffee. The 9 a.m. slate doesn't do a lot for me Saturday morning, but I think the interest picks up as the day goes on. So hey, I'm going to do some honey-do lists in the morning and then watch football.
Just the one ranked matchup at 9.
Yeah, and I just, you know,
well, we got to get past this ranked
I'll catch
matchup.
The second half of that game. Like, Missouri's, I just don't think Missouri's that good. I think they came in with a lot of hype. They've beaten nobody. Win that game by 2 tutties, then I'll believe in you. But until then, I'm kind of out on Missouri.
Is that a 9 a.m. kick, Missouri?
That is a 9 a.m.
kick. ABC.
Yeah, 9 a.m.
So you're
kick.
Skipping that game.
I'm going to skip at least the first half of it. I should be home by a 10:30, 11. Catch the back half, see if it's interesting, and then see if we got any upsets. And then the slate the rest of the day, I think, is decent. Not a lot of big-time matchups, but interesting matchups.
Well, it's such a relief, I think, to wake up and be like, hey, my team's game is done.
Well, the other aspect of it, and I go look at this, it is great to have a stress-free Saturday, no doubt. Bye weeks or playing a weekday game, that's if you win your game, because if you lose, then you're just, you know, depressed for 48 hours, so that's fun.
What would you put the percentages they lose to Michigan State?
It's
got to be sub-5.
One and a half.
I'm kind of there.
3. I'll give you 3%.
I mean, it's got like 9 guys have to go down with injury for me to go, oh, okay, that's how they lost.
They need a giant thunderstorm, rain, people can't hold on to wet footballs.
It never rains in Autzen, though.
Never rains at Autzen. They have a dome. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. but the cool thing about the Friday games, though, and I will always maintain this, is go look at the numbers throughout the week. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. The numbers on Friday games are awesome. They're really good. Like these
this
games,
might be the first time a lot of people across the country
see Oregon play. Yeah, honestly. I mean, it's a 6 o'clock kick on Fox, so it's on national television. The Miami-Virginia Tech game last week, which was an ESPN game, so not on network TV, on cable, had like 3.5 million. It was one of the highest watched games of the entire week, and Virginia Tech sucks.
Yeah.
It was just because it was a Friday standalone game with the Washington-Rutgers game, which, by the way, also had pretty good numbers. So it's kind of fun to be the only show in town in the sport, as long as your team plays well.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I remember the Friday 2 weeks ago when it was Stanford and Syracuse.
Nebraska, Illinois.
Nebraska, Illinois. And then Coug, San Jose State.
Coug, San Jose State was a nightcap. Yeah.
That was the funny one, was like it was 3 games that day. And I remember seeing a couple of them at the restaurant, watching the end of them at home. And then, you know, I tried to stay awake, but I could not for San Jose State, Washington State.
No.
It was too late, and it was a Friday, and it just wasn't going to work for me.
6 o'clock's okay. I'm all on board with that.
But, you know, I think it's as I was thinking about it yesterday, our conversation with Josh Pate, I think it's a fascinating weekend. A weekend that some games don't get you that excited when I say it to you, and then you see the third quarter, the team that you thought was going to win is down 10.
Yes.
If Iowa is up 13-10 on Ohio State in the third quarter, I'm actually not going to be shocked.
No.
Because I've seen Ohio State do this, and then eventually they blow their opponent out. But Iowa may not be pretty to watch. They're good defensively.
They are.
That much we know about Iowa.
They absolutely
are.
And
they will pin you deep. They will pin you deep.
They love to pin you deep. It's the beauty of the sport. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. You know, I brought this up last Friday with Miami, Virginia Tech, and you push back on it, and I don't blame you at all. Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt, man. Virginia Tech's been an awful team this year so far, and Miami has looked the part of a top-five team. You just never know where the funky game's going to come. And for my team, I'm hoping that they got them out of the way the first 2 weeks of the season, that those were your two, like, hey, what are we doing here? Why do you look this way? And now you flushed them, and you're not going to look that way the rest of the year, because my heart rate would appreciate if they did that. But you just never know when a weird team that's distracted, or they're college kids, who knows what's going on, or you're looking ahead, or whatever the case may be, and you end up with these wild results. Like Kentucky and Ole Miss was that way. Kentucky could hardly complete a forward pass. And largely throughout that entire game, they couldn't complete a forward pass.
Their best forward pass ended up being an actual fumble into the end zone that I got caught
late in the game. But then they got a 4th and 15 on like their own 12-yard line. And what do? They're just like, ah, let's chuck up a Hail Mary, see what happens. And he caught it. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, is Kentucky going to win this game? You play with your food, weird things can happen. It will definitely happen this weekend. But it's one of the reasons that even as a fan, and maybe I'm the Eli Drinkwitz paranoid fan on the show, I never go in with the like, oh, this is easy, we're going to blow them out, no thought. It's always like, hey, make sure we're focused.
You
let's
never go
attention.
In that way?
I try not to go in that way because I don't want to get caught off guard. I'm always on guard, and that way I won't get caught off guard. My team almost lost to Idaho.
I believe you, but I'm going to pull back a throwback to the Danforth, Thurton, Sprague days. You picked Oregon to win by 3 TDs against Arizona.
Yeah. That was it. That
you
was
thought they were going to curb stomp Ohio State in a title game.
And I've learned my lesson the hard way. I'm not doing that
You've
anymore,
been burned.
Man. I've been burned too many times, man. I go in. My antennas are up every single week, no matter the opponent.
Are you
nameless, faceless? We're playing ourselves this week, Sprague.
Not so much a college question, more a general football question. The end of that, I don't know why, but you just triggered a memory. So the Saints Falcons game that ended with Younghoe Koo kicking a field goal from almost 60,
like a 60-yarder, yeah.
They drew a PI. I am always a little surprised, coaches, and I know Franklin was asked this question a couple years ago, and he scoffed at the guy, and everybody made fun of the question. And the guy was like, why don't you just, oh, deep.
Just chuck it up.
And Frank's like, oh, you just think that's a play that we just throw deep? And sometimes at the end of games, I do actually say that of like, aren't the odds good if you teach your receivers how to like create contact?
Yeah.
Come back for the ball and then fall down and the guy's not looking at the ball and then that's a PI. Like, I am always a little surprised they don't do it more often. Say, hey, we're going for the PI.
Just underthrow it by 5 yards.
Yeah, because largely you get these DBs that don't look in time. If the receiver runs back, he's going to hit him. He's going to fall. PI. It's ridiculous, but it happens.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me when I watch offenses that, not even just at the end of games, that don't try that throughout the course of the game. Like, offenses that refuse to throw the ball deep crack me up.
It's the second hardest position to play in the sport is cornerback.
Yeah.
And I feel like they get away with, like, 2 quarters worth of plays where they don't get tested like that.
If I were an offensive coordinator, and this is why I'll never be an offensive coordinator,
you
feel like
do this at Cleveland.
Like one of every 9 pass plays just needs to be a shot.
One of every
just like
9?
Just take a shot. Second and 4, take 40-yard bomb. Let's see what happens here. Maybe it gets caught. Maybe it's incomplete.
What's your success rate? You think in your head when you're thinking this?
12%. It's not great, but hitting those plays is worth it when you hit them.
You only get 15 yards. You don't get.
College is the same. I don't think college is spot foul either.
No, it's 15.
But 15 yards is big.
I'm with you on that, though. I remember that Penn State comment from Franklin and that becoming a big thing, and he was making fun of the reporter, basically telling him you don't know what you're talking about. But it's because they never even attempted to throw the ball deep. Never even tried. Like, didn't even force it downfield. Just, hey, Drew, Let's just give our guy a shot, see what happens. Like, especially in a situation where you have a lot of free downs throughout the course of a football game. Second and one is a free down. Like, if you don't trust your offense to run it for 1 yard on third and short, you got other issues.
Sure.
Second and one is a free play. I hate when offenses do something conservative in that situation. Get funky, man. Take a shot. Double move. See what you get. If it's not there, throw it out of bounds. Like, just give yourself an opportunity for big plays.
Yeah, you've got three or four receivers on every play. You should have a check down tight end, running back, yes, somebody in the just flat if the deep ball's not there.
Throw it into the dirt if Let's it's go. Not there. Come on. I'm revolutionizing offenses, dude. And if you're not
the old Raider days.
If you're not taking shots, you're not a functional offense. It was one of the things that limited Oregon a ton early in the season was they in the Idaho game, they only took one deep shot the entire game.
Early, yeah.
And it was driving me nuts. Like, just loosen them up at some point. I know there's two high safeties, but they're Idaho safeties. We got good wide receivers. Let somebody go make a play. And they've started to do it as the year has gone on, and they keep hitting on them week in and week out now.
You know, in 25 college football, EA, I throw it deep all the time.
You got to take deep shots, man.
Statement than their Idaho DBs.
So successful, that Georgia Tech team.
You got to take your shots, man. You got to loosen up a defense and keep them honest. You can't let them play around within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Take your shots. Come on. What are we doing?
He's Al Davis now.
It's easy.
It's just Al Davis.
It's winning natties over here. What do you want from me?
What I love about this is most of us that don't coach football all feel this way. And we're never coaching football.
No, yeah. No.
Dirt's not volunteering.
Because I wasn't given the chance, man. If I was given the chance.
You could work your way into a high school job.
I definitely could.
I know people that have, like, yeah, I'm just going to go coach football, and you work your way up, and you're OC in 2 years.
It's way too much time commitment for me.
How come you don't throw it deep, Dirt? I heard you on the radio a couple of years ago. Yeah. Have you seen Dylan?
He's got a noodle arm, man.
Dylan can't throw an out route to save his life.
Has a noodle arm.
We've both played it at the same time.
Double the noodle arm.
I got a noodle arm sophomore back here. He can't throw the ball more than 20 yards. What do you want from me?
What if that was the play call, though? Imagine you're like an NFL huddle. It's like grown-ass pro players, and the huddle comes in, and it's like the OC's on the headset. PID.
Yeah, that's a play call. Just trip when the ball gets close. Try and fall to the ground. Well, the Kentucky Ole Miss one was funny, too, because they had the week before, 2 weeks before, whatever it was, when they played Georgia and damn near beat them. What did they do? What did Stoops do on, like, 4th and 6 from midfield? He did the most conservative thing possible, acting like that's going to beat the number one team in the country. They
Coward.
Never got the ball back,
yep.
And that was the end of it. And in this game, when you're facing a 4th and 10 or whatever it was, what are you imagining the offense is going to do?
Right.
Try and get to the sticks, turn around, do something underneath, maybe a pick route. We got to just get the first down. And he finally grabbed his balls and was like, dude, screw it. Throw it deep. And the guy caught it, and it was like a 70-yard completion, and they won the game.
Side note on the Oregon game here, now that we're talking about deep targets.
Michigan State throws the ball downfield a ton. They take a lot of shots.
He throws it to the other team a lot.
Quite often.
They do take shots, and I do appreciate that about Jonathan. But Tez has been awesome. How are you feeling about the targets at Oregon right now? Ferguson coming off of that massive hit. Sounds like he's going to play, which
yeah.
I'm just glad he survived.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I would have died if I got hit like that. But how are you feeling so far about the targets?
It was a weird start to the year, I think largely because of the offensive line. And now that they have solidified that up front, I feel great about their
You feel
targets.
Great about it. They've settled in.
I think Evan Stewart is going to be... Evan Stewart's a guy that's going to have a couple of pop games this year where
I
think
so too.
Jesus, that guy's talented.
Next weekend might be the weekend for it,
Could
too.
Be. Tez Johnson is as quick and fast of a slot wide receiver that exists in the entire country. Trayshawn Holden is a big body wide receiver. It's one of the best groups, if not the best group they've ever had in the history of that school. You've seen guys like Justice Lowe start to get some run. Some of the younger guys, Kyle Kasper's turned into a goal line target for them. And all this is without Gary Bryant, the USC transfer who hasn't played yet. And he kind of has not going to play transfer written all over him at this point
in
the year.
Holden's been really good.
Holden's been great. Yeah. Their tight ends are solid. The only criticism that I have of their weapons, and I love the family name, and I love what his brother did for the school, and he's a great blocker.
Oh, no.
There needs to be adjustments to tight end number 2.
He would have had a touchdown if wide receiver 1 would have thrown a good pass.
He also would have had a touchdown if he could catch a ball that hits him directly in the hands.
We don't need to talk about that.
Was maybe the best throw Dylan Gabriel made the entire night, and it hit him square in between the palms.
Yeah,
he dropped it.
For all the Sadiq noise, a couple quotes, but for the Sadiq stuff we heard in the camp, I've been a little surprised, and I know they gave him the ball a couple times against UCLA. I've been surprised the lack of targets he's gotten this year. And I know, what, he's a sophomore, right?
He's a sophomore.
I have been surprised because I think you see him and you go, why is he not?
He's a better athlete. He's got better hands. Yeah. And Herbert's a better blocker. And I think you want to honor the seniors. And he's been through a lot. And he's been there. Herbert's been around a long time.
Let's also not act like that name doesn't mean a great deal within that university and that athletic department.
Means a little bit, Bob. Means a little bit.
I think it helps a little bit with the snap counts.
But when you're catching beautiful balls over the, or not catching beautiful balls over the middle, that's when I start saying, you know, maybe tight end number two gets switched up a little bit.
Should offensive coordinators design offense to just have a pass interference call? Dirt says yes. 1 in 9 throw attempts should be big bombs where you try to draw pass interference or get a
catch. Take deep shots, man. Take your shots. Got to take a shot.
Any local high school offensive coordinator listening is in their car or in their office.
Dude, this guy's onto something, man.
Screaming at you.
I take my shots. I take my shots because I'm a smart offensive football mind, keeping a defense honest.
How many times did you throw big shots in high school?
We would do it every handful of offensive series, probably.
Really? Just throw it up there and hopefully.
You got a guy that can go run a fade. You got single high coverage. Dude, take a shot down the sideline.
Did you have a receiver you trusted?
Absolutely.
Yeah, who was your receiver?
Sam McIntyre. Shout out to Sam McIntyre, dude. He would catch anything I threw in his vicinity. He
really?
Was great.
Made you look good, didn't he?
Made me look awesome.
How about that?
Double coverage, go make a play, baby.
How about that? Dirt to Sam. Andy and Sam. That could have been the radio show.
Could have been right there.
I ruined it for him.
A couple of Cleveland legends.
Instead, you got
Dirt and Mac.
Dirt and Mac?
Ooh, that's not a bad show name.
Would it
right
be
there.
Mac and Dirt? I think Mac and Dirt sounds good.
That does.
It sounds like a good food.
Brought to you by Stouffer's Mac and Cheese.
It should be in. Mac in Dirt.
Yeah.
Mac and Dart. Like a southern program up here in the Pacific Northwest.
WNBC.
WNBC. We'll get to our big peepees later on. I'll put the poll question up on offense. Did you throw it 1 in 9 times down the field hoping for pass interference? We have a lot more to get into. An hour and a half of the program. We'll get to it next on The Fan.
All right. The poll question is up. Am I brilliant or am I brilliant?
So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
Yeah, the poll question is make-believe offensive coordinator at the Dirt Johnson says 1 out of every 9 passes should be thrown deep, hoping for a big play or a pass interference. Do you agree? Right now, 80% say yes. Go deep.
Yeah. Go deep, baby. Go deep.
20% no. Can't for big bombs.
You know what those 20 people have in common?
Scarred.
Don't know ball. Don't know ball, man.
Oh, they don't know ball.
They don't know ball like I know ball down at Georgia Tech. We got a lot to get to in the next hour and a half of the show.
How do you ever wonder? I wonder this all the time. And this is the stupid sports fan me. I always wonder how I would be as an offensive play caller.
Like in reality of, like calling plays, you have to put the whole offense, the game plan together, all of that
you
stuff.
You should see when I watch my team or I'm watching football in general, it'll be 2nd and 2, 2nd and 3, and it's a run play, and I am the guy that's in his kitchen with the TV on in the living room, and I'm just like, why would you call that? What a stupid play! You know when this happened was Arizona. I needed the over, so this is where this is stemming from. Arizona Commies last week, they struggled at the beginning to put points on the board, and Washington was the only one doing it, and Washington had a 3 and out, and Cliff back-to-back threw wide receiver screens to McLaurin, and Arizona read it easy. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Why would you do that, you idiot?
The first they scored 42 points in the game.
They had an okay offensive day. I think you could say that. The first response we got, somebody said, if you vote no on this, you think mayonnaise is spicy. You're damn right. Go at G-Beeves. At G-Beeves, you're right, man. I'm with you 100% in lockstep on that one.
I just, you know, there's a part of this, and I know this is not real, okay? So football bro that coaches locally that's listening, or you know, football person who loves football and is really smart, take this with a grain of salt. There's also an element of this that, like, you kind of owe it to us to be exciting and fun.
Yes, you do.
Give me something.
Incomplete. Okay,
now
whatever.
Look, if it doesn't work, I'm probably gonna criticize you.
Why'd you throw a pick in a double coverage? What are you doing, dude?
You know what I wouldn't have done on 2nd and 1, thrown it 33 yards down the field.
Criticizing play calls is one of the funniest things about media fans and all of that. Like, we've been doing this for weeks. Jed Fish running a speed option to the short side of the field, and he is like planted his foot in the ground of like, that was not a bad call. And he tried to argue with the next week by using Oregon as an example, which I'm sure every Husky fan loved to hear. You know, Oregon ran speed option to the short side of the field. What happened when they did it? It was a touchdown. It's like, I don't know if that's the example you want to bring out, buddy, saying they execute the play better than you do. He's dying on the hill. It was not a bad play call.
And I know that San Jose State ran it on Wazoo the very next week and successfully got it. The argument I'd make, though, is, hey, Jed, that wasn't fourth and goal in the rivalry game.
No, it was not.
Bad example, buddy.
Text to the Vancouver Ford text line. That is my flag football team's motto, live or die by the deep ball. I bet you're winning a lot of games doing that. Somebody said, yes, throw deep. Losing by three is no different than losing by 30. Amen, brother. L's are L's. If you're going to catch an L, you might as well go down swinging. And somebody said, or they're Michigan fans voting no because they don't want to turn the ball over every nine plays. Valid point. Michigan can't throw the ball down the field.
By the way, right now, I just updated it. It's at 94.1 or saying, yeah, you got to go deep.
You go deep, baby. You ain't first or last. That's my motto in football.
What I would pay to get Will Stein or Ryan Gunderson in studio to have this conversation.
We need this. I'll break down my Georgia Tech offense. They can break down their Oregon State offenses. Gundy, we'll compare notes.
Why don't you just have McCoy go deep to Clemens? I mean, what's the problem?
Look, we can use your team as a primary example of this. It's going to be something that is going to unlock them if they can ever find a way to throw the ball down the field. Because what if they had no threat of for the first month and a half?
Yeah.
How many deep shots have they even hit? I mean, they had the flea flicker where the guy dropped it, and then they had one where they came back. So they've hit a small number of them.
They haven't successfully completed a lot of them, but they've taken some shots.
You got to.
Is it one every nine passes?
You got to keep him honest.
Certainly is not.
Gundy's a little more conservative than I am.
Well, he's a chip guy, a Riley guy. He wants to run the football and establish the game that way, but you need a passing game to complement it.
You're damn right you do, brother. We're solving problems left and right out here.
Do you criticize offense? Like, with defense, I'm too stupid. And I was actually a better defensive player playing football in my youth than I was in offensive, because I liked receiver. We weren't throwing the football.
No.
I was a running back when I was really little and fast, and then when I got a little taller, they're like, hey, Spray, go out, you're a receiver. And I was okay catching, but we didn't throw the football.
No.
So I was always better defensively, and I watched defense, and I'm just like, why don't you just dial up a blitz? You know they're going to run the ball. Why don't you just stop it?
It's the best Josh Wilcox story of all time when he was down at USC when his brother was still the D coordinator there and telling us that when he was on the sideline, there was a fan behind the bench that was yelling at the coaching staff to call the touchdown play. Call the touchdown play! Why aren't you calling any touchdown plays?
When I covered Oregon State, Mark Banker was the defensive coordinator for Oregon State, and Beaver fans are going to have just PTSD, I think, hearing that name. But Vernon Adams in Eastern Washington, like 600 yards of offense against Oregon State. And a beat writer asked Banker to practice, hey, Mark, what are you going to do to improve? He goes, not give up 600 yards to a quarterback from Eastern Washington.
It's a pretty good place to start.
And he walked away.
You're trying to improve.
You know, not be as bad as we just were.
That helps a little bit.
That's the goal.
Mike has responded on Twitter saying, you got to take shots, stretch the field, need to trust your quarterback, make those decisions, 100% aligned. Let's go, baby.
So far, we're all doing the same thing every Saturday.
This isn't that complicated, guys.
Throw it deep.
This is not that complicated, okay?
I just think the NFL lends itself a little more than even college. This is where I will say, I'm not football bro, but I'm telling you, this should be implemented. How coaches are not, and maybe they are, but like I don't think they are, how coaches don't take 5 to 10 minutes of practice and just have an assistant of some sort run with a pad with a receiver and teach them to run back into the defensive player like they're coming back for the ball.
And fall down.
How that's not a taught thing, I will never understand. The ref wants to throw the flag.
Yeah.
There's nothing more exciting for a ref than putting two arms out and pointing a direction.
Especially for
bring
the home
the
crowd to get them all fired up.
Bring the soccer coach over and teach you how to take dives that look like...
Bring Luka Doncic out there. He'll teach you how to flop all over the field.
I'm just always like, why don't you just, do the NBA move where they put the arm under the other arm.
Grab the arm, yeah.
Put the arm under a defensive player's arm and go up and then like, hey! And scream and one.
Can't lift my arm up, man.
Bring basketball to football. That's what I would do.
Now we're getting flopping. This is going sideways. I'm not advocating for flopping here. I just want my deep shots, okay? Just give me my deep shots. Speaking of deep shots and quarterback play, there are numbers out through the adjusted EPA and grading the way quarterbacks have played in the NFL. Who are the five best quarterbacks at this point in the NFL season? I want your five. I will tell you who the five are numbers-wise.
This is EPA?
Through EPA, okay. Total Expected Points Added Adjustment. Yep. Who are the five best quarterbacks in the NFL? I want to see if you guys have one in there or your five are in there, and I'll tell you who the numbers say are the five best quarterbacks at this point in the NFL season. That's next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online, crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Nice little Thursday night football game tonight, dare I say.
I'm contemplating spreading the line.
Ooh, dirty tease right there.
I'm contemplating it.
I like that.
I like a lot of lines this weekend, even though I'm terrible.
Ooh, buddy. We will get our big PP picks in at some point in the final hour. I think we usually do that at 8:15.
Usually, yeah.
And I had the dirty poll ready to go today. Do we still want to do the dirty poll today? Do we want to do the dirty poll at all? Do we want to?
We had upset last. We had top six upset.
I know we did. I know. Do you want an updated dirty poll? Was that part of the show?
You need to do this for me.
Yeah,
I'm all about you doing the dirty poll. You want to do the dirty poll?
I was shamed last week for not doing the dirty poll. Then I thought we were bringing the dirty poll back.
I forgot what day it was.
Yeah,
you're not reminding
too.
Me of this. Like when I did Zigger Zag and you weren't putting in a show teases, I shamed you every week.
You did, yeah.
And I've conditioned you now.
No. I put it in the tease last night. We didn't get to it. It was in the tease.
The dirty poll?
The dirty poll was in the tease. Yeah.
Should have texted me.
It was there.
Should have texted me.
It was in the tweet. Read the tweets, man. Throw it deep.
You threw the tweets up late last night.
I did. I was up late last night. Yeah. So I saw this yesterday. This is from Kevin Cole, who used to work at Pro Football Focus. He does an Unexpected Points newsletter. He's basically a data scientist looking at numbers in the National Football League.
To quote the great Josh Wilcox, the nerds have won.
The nerds have won, and he's one of the nerds. And so they have all these different metrics. You know, it's like when you watch baseball and you get the OPS plus number, and everybody's like, hey, what the hell does that mean? I don't know. But it just means you're a good hitter, and you get on base, and you hit the ball hard a lot, right?
Yeah, there's stats in baseball. I can't begin to tell you what they mean. I'll never forget Mike Lynch telling me why the Rockies were going to be good because they're Babbitt. I said, what's Babbitt? Are you
Come
making?
On, man. Batting average on balls in play. How do you not know that number, loser?
Even Swag just looked at me now, and he's
like, Babbitt. What's
that stats existed for a while. Swag's like, Babbitt.
This one is adjusted quarterback efficiency. AQE, a.k.a. Total Expected Points Added Adjustments.
So I think the stats movement in the NFL has been good. It's helped for context in some ways. Pablo Torre did a really good one, that football's becoming too nerdy and that
Very
people
nerdy.
Are just pleasuring themselves to bragging about stats that they know in football that yep. most people don't understand.
No.
And this is where you're starting to lose me as well. It's just like, you're going to name a name that I know. And I go, so he's good. Yeah, I know.
I know that he's good. I've watched football. I know that
AQ,
he's...
You know, AQPT
is. You should get your numbers down, bitch. All right? Figure this out, man. Come on. So
it's too nerdy.
It basically is a way to incorporate all the different numbers of being a core. How far your depth of target is, how quickly you release the ball, the yards after catch that you allow your receivers to create, how often you take sacks, your turnover-worthy plays.
So if you're good.
If you're good, right?
Yeah.
Who, according to these numbers, who do you think are, at this point in the NFL season, the five best quarterbacks in the NFL?
So I'm going to take a stab, and I was going to guess him going into the break, but he's on my television right now, and
yep.
he's been the talk of the NFL. I'm going to guess Jaden Daniels is at the top of this list so far.
Jaden Daniels is the number one quarterback yeah. in terms of adjusted EPA in yeah. the entire NFL a month into the season.
Now, the AQ, whatever stat you just threw out, I've yep. never heard of that, but the EPA dropback yeah. stuff is stuff I've been following. I know he was number one in that.
Yes, he is number
and
one.
They score almost on every drive.
They've had back-to-back games where yeah. they haven't had a right?
They punted one time in yeah. three
one
games.
One time in three games.
In three games.
So you got number right. one right.
Geno?
Two through five. Geno Smith is just outside the top five.
Brock
he is
Purdy.
Number six. Brock Purdy is number two yeah. on this list.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is number five on this list.
Lamar,
just outside. He is seventh or eighth.
Stroud. Sam Darnold.
Stroud is way out. Stroud's like outside the top 10.
Okay, I just threw him out. I know yeah. they've been a little clunky.
Sam Darnold is number four on this list.
Hmm.
The last one, it's not a surprising name, but he doesn't feel like he's had a great year, and so I was a little surprised to see him in there.
Is it Dak?
It is not Dak Prescott. He is outside the top 10 Hurts? As well. It is not Jalen Hurts. No, Jared Goff either.
Baker.
Candlestick no, maker. It is not. Joe Burrow is the number three quarterback in the NFL, according to this number.
Okay.
Which, you know.
Well, according to that stat.
According to this stat. He yes. is the number three quarterback in the NFL. I did find it interesting, though, and the reason I wanted to bring this up is just because I continue to be, and I'm assuming that you are as well, incredibly impressed with the guy that shows up on this list. You know, Jaden Daniels is going to get a lot of the love this year. He's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, it appears. They might go to the playoffs. Like, it seems all full steams ahead for the number, what was he, three overall pick in the draft last year? Two overall, whatever it was. Having Brock Purdy be
number two
overall, thank yeah. you. Brock Purdy being the second on this list, he has not had Christian McCaffrey all season long, who is easily their best offensive weapon. Debo has missed significant chunks of time. George Kittle has missed a game. They've had the eighth most drops in the NFL. Their offensive line is bottom third in pressure percentage allowed, so they're giving up a lot of pressures.
Yeah, Trent Williams covers up the fact that the Niners' offensive line is
not great.
Mid.
And his numbers on the season, he is first in yards per attempt among starters, fourth in average depth of target, so throwing the ball down the field at 11.2, fourth in big-time throw percentage, and 20th in turnover-worthy plays, which is a good number because you want to be low on that list. And I continue to be wildly impressed with him, and it's probably a tired narrative for some of, can you pay, you get really going to pay that guy $50 million? And then I look at what he's doing this year, and he is having he has only gotten better, and he's having an incredible season.
I think the people who don't think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL, or maybe a top eight quarterback, that they lean more on the weapons play caller situation, I think those people aren't so much, I think they're more tired of hearing about people saying, is anybody going to say this guy's good?
You really going to pay this guy $50 million?
Look, he's going to get his contract. He seems to fit the Shanahan offense. All the Kirkers noise, right? When they were talking about he wanted Kirkers in San Francisco, it's kind of a version of that. It's different. He's more mobile than Kirkers. But I mentioned it this weekend. Their New England game, there's plays on that tape that you won't see on a highlight reel that I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, damn. His pocket awareness, his footwork, his mobility, his decision making, a lot of that. And this is kind of the Brady-esque thing, and not that he will run a dynasty here.
No.
But the Brady-esque thing was that it took him a while, but eventually the success, the consistency of film study and working and improving, it became something more than just run-of-the-mill game manager. It became the lore of Brady.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Purdy's future will be, if he'll ever win a title, but what I think you see from quarterbacks, stemming back to our Sam Darnold conversation in the 6 a.m. hour, when you build confidence early, you start to establish a narrative in your own mind of, I don't only belong, I'm one of the best here, I can do this, and then you establish the commitment to it, and you start to separate yourself. And I would say that's kind of what he's done. He's not just some gimmicky guy that you debate anymore. It's people that liked him get to talk about how right they were, and the people that are annoyed of hearing about it are just going to continue to be annoyed and of hearing about it. And I think that's kind of where we're at with Brock Purdy. I think even the people who don't like him the most would probably say, yeah, I mean, you need a quarterback. They're winning games when he plays. He's good in all these advanced metrics. You got to pay him. It's how the NFL is.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because you get people that move the goalposts of, at times, the argument is, well, he's only good because of people around him, and he's only good because of the talent on his roster.
But show me the quarterback where largely that's not
the thing.
They
do it all on their own.
I read the Diggs piece on ESPN Dirt about Diggs' end in Buffalo, and one part that stuck out to me, and I know we remember this, but it's easy to forget as well, go look at Josh Allen's numbers prior to getting Stephon Diggs. It was sub 60% completion. It was kind of college Josh Allen.
Yes.
He was, you know, a volatile player that ran the ball and made weird decisions. Remember the playoff game against Houston? He made that weird
the pitch, fumble.
What are you doing? They get Diggs, and he jumped from 57 to 66. And slowly but surely, guess what happened?
Next year got a little bit better.
Got better. Now he's become, and I think he's playing like the MVP of the season. I didn't have a good game Sunday, but I think he's in that conversation. And that's what this stuff does. So it's easy to say, well, the guy has weapons. Yeah, but like, please point me the direction of the guy
right.
that had success without any of it.
Yeah, there's no, they don't
exist.
Happen. Even Mahomes last year in the regular season, the numbers didn't blow your hair off because he didn't have anybody to throw the football to. That's just the nature of the world we live in.
They're not blowing. The numbers aren't blowing you out of the water this year. His numbers post Tyreek Hill largely have substantially dropped. But he's got Kelce, who's just such a great, he's an all-time go-to.
And he wins when it matters.
And he makes the throws when he needs to, and Andy schemes things up, and then they get a Rashee Rice who pops out of nowhere and becomes a huge weapon. Now, they lost him, but my point is, like, even Mahomes' numbers have dropped from where they were at the start of this, and they still win games.
I just continue to be impressed by him. I think he's a great story in the NFL, and I hate when these ones kind of turn into this hot, takey, debatey, is he top five, he's not top five, don't pay him, pay him. It's just like, dude, just he's a seventh, last pick in the NFL draft, he's in his third year in the NFL, he's gotten only better in his first 3 years in the league, numbers bear it out, awesome story in the league.
I think Goff, Baker, Purdy, Geno,
Darnold.
I put two in this before the concussion stuff, and we don't know what it's going to... Like, I think those are six quarterbacks that we all have to kind of say, they're good.
They're good.
They're good. I don't know how great they are, if they'll ever win a title, but they're really stinking good. You can rank them however you want to rank them, but we all have to say, great stories, and they're good.
Yep, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I got an NFL factoid for you to steal from your Tuesday segment that I chuckled at. So we'll get to that. Thursday Night Football is tonight. Decent little game. Sprague going to sprague the line on that game. We'll find out in the final hour. We got our big PP picks. Who do we like this weekend in the Northwest football matchups? And we got a game three in the wild card of the MLB playoffs. It is a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.